It is 5:02, and we are still live from Rogers Center, but we're moving from the Extendo Jays talk to the Blue Jays this week. The very, very, I can't say it enough, well-received podcast from last season. Hasn't been back podcastically yet, but it will.
Mm-hmm.
And all of last year, Ben Ennis and I got together and on the internets and all of that stuff and did a little bit of the Blue Jays this week. And we are going to bring it back for you now for this next half hour as we get you ready for Raptors basketball. The Blue Jays beat the Orioles 9-2 to improve to 5-4 on the season. And when the Blue Jays This Week podcast happened last year, I wasn't the guy who was running the show. Ben Ennis was the guy who was running the show. And so in this half-hour edition of the Blue Jays This Week podcast on the radio, Ben Ennis, I invite you.
No.
Run the show.
Really?
Run it.
All right, I guess I could.
I'm going to give you
I feel like you're guest,
clock.
Though. Well, the clock, okay.
All right.
This is very important. Might have wanted to tell me this before we went on the air, but whatever. Yeah, whatever your prerogative is.
I don't know that it would have been nearly as good.
No, probably not.
Preparation.
What?
Never a good thing.
Yeah, that's what
I
hear.
In the radio business.
That's what they say.
That's right. That's what they've said
except
from day one.
The complete
never a good
opposite.
Thing.
Yeah, I was a Boy Scout as well, so it was the opposite of that. I'm surprised you haven't received a call calling for Jeff Mathis to be the starting catcher, Mike. People are
at least
freaking
four tweets today.
Okay,
tweets. At least
they weren't on the radio.
Didn't
though.
Go on the radio.
But I mean, to be fair, it has not been a very good start for J.P. Arencibia, and we know that batting average is never going to be a strong suit. Although it was throughout his minor league career, wasn't
275 career hitter in the minors.
I mean,
yep.
You can live with a guy hitting 220 or below if he cranks out 30 some odd homers and
yep.
plays great defense, which he has
uh-huh.
so far this season.
And he has won one game single-handedly.
Yeah, the first game of the season.
Yeah,
yeah that
five
was
wins.
Nice.
20% of their wins are directly attributable yeah. to J.P. Arencibia.
I just
but he's only got one hit since then.
Yeah, it's not good. And just overall, the at-bats have looked a little weak. I mean, I'm with you as far as you can't take much from the statistical analysis after nine games of the regular season, but you can take something away from how guys look and their approach at the plate.
Can you?
I think you
can't
can.
That change, like, on a dime?
I suppose, but he hasn't looked good, though. To be
no,
fair.
He hasn't looked good. He's not up there hitting ropes every time
mm-hmm.
out. He hasn't looked like Colby Rasmus has, hitting in bad luck.
Who you and, knew was going to hit his way out of
yeah.
this slump because
yeah,
the, those line drives, they turn into base hits.
And
eventually.
J.P., I'm looking for the numbers. I was going to say, I think he struck out in close to half his at-bats, but I
yeah.
want to make sure. 28 at-bats, 12 strikeouts. Yeah, so close to half his at-bats.
Travis d'Arnaud's not doing much in AAA yet
yeah,
either.
Yeah, but he's not pushing Arencibia so fast, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
I think
Alex seems to want to keep his catchers a full year at AAA. That's
yep.
what he did with JP, so that's probably.
JP had 2 years at AAA.
Yeah.
And a full year before he was even considered for a call-up, although that first full year was terrible, but he was hurt. A couple of different injuries that season, an eye thing, a kidney thing. I think it was a rough 2009. I'm J.P. Arencibia, I don't think would be in the major leagues if not for the bat.
Although his defense has been great.
His defense has been terrific, but it's
I didn't
the bat
hate it last year
it's
either.
The bat that got him here.
Yeah.
Right? This is a guy who can hit and he's just not hitting right now. But again, you're looking at someone who's the eighth or ninth place hitter in the lineup, who we know can hit 20 home runs in his sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's much too early to start worrying about
yeah.
Arencibia.
I don't think there's any concerns about the offense from day one. I didn't think there were concerns. Didn't think there were going to be any concerns about the bullpen, though, either, Mike. And you know what? I've said this a couple of times on radio shows that I've hosted and Blue Jays segments that I've done, baseball segments.
They let you do that stuff?
Yeah, sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah, you're letting me do it on your own radio program, and I'm holding a stopwatch, which I'm not sure the point of which is. But the Blue Jays, at the beginning of last season, I thought they did a great job improving that bullpen. You had three guys who had experience at the back end of the bullpen in late-game situations. You had a little safety net. If one of those guys started to stink, like Frankie Frank did for a little bit. You had John Roush. And just everybody when given the opportunity, drop the ball. Those guys have been great, by the way. Early season results
Frankie
from the Mets.
Frank, and Roush, they've been terrific.
Second half of last season, he was outstanding as well.
Yeah.
I liked what they did again this year, but you're talking about guys in Francisco Cordero who are probably in the latter stages of their career.
Sure. But this might be his last year.
Yeah, it might be. I tend to think that it's just bad luck that you see four blown saves already, but for a team that blew so many last season, it's really not... I mean, as a fan, how do you not get freaked out after they blow the 28 or whatever they did last year? And I know they didn't lose
25,
okay. So they were behind the Angels for the most in the American League in blown saves, I believe.
And the Cardinals, who won the World Series, had more blown saves than they did.
Yeah, okay, well, whatever. And I know, don't you have your ledger?
I can't find the ledger, but I think they were 7-16 in those 25 blown saves.
But can you think of a worse scenario after?
No, of course not.
It's honestly brutal. They had one save.
And I think that my first line on the blog post that I put up, they have two saves, don't they?
Santos has one. I think they only have one. They have one save.
Right. Wow.
They have one
save. Yeah, you're right. They have one save. The first line of the blog post I put up after yesterday's game was, this couldn't possibly have been a worse start to the season.
I read your blog.
Yeah, because after last year, you're right, with the 25 blown saves and the revamped bullpen, the difference between last year's bullpen and this year's bullpen is all those guys, you mentioned three guys, there were actually four guys who started 2010 as their team's closer.
Yeah.
All four of them lost the job like a month in.
Tremendous.
Right? And now this time you've got Sergio Santos with the electric arm. You've got Francisco Cordero, who sure is on the way down the hill, but has changed himself as a pitcher. And he's no longer a fastball guy. He's a ground ball guy. He's not a strikeout guy. He's a ground ball guy, and they had a fantastic year last year.
Maybe Casey Jansen is a regression candidate, though. You think about how...
Casey Jansen has had two seasons in the major leagues where he's been fully healthy.
Yeah.
And he has been...
He was outstanding.
Dominant in each of those two fully healthy seasons. Hmm. So I don't know about a real serious regression for him. I love the guy. But even if he is, he's the fourth guy.
Yeah.
Right?
He's not supposed to be closing games.
Yeah, he's not supposed to be
and
blowing
And everybody
saves.
Gets pushed back a spot in game scenarios the last couple of games. Santos.
That damn baby.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you think that the bullpen would have been managed a little bit differently?
Completely differently.
The first game of the series? Oliver probably not in there against all those righties. And I know his
splits. It would have been Cordero's inning.
Yeah.
Period. Because when Cordero and Santos are both here... Cordero gets the eighth, Santos gets the ninth, when they're both available, period, end of story. So, yeah, that Friday night game where Oliver faced all those switch hitters, he's not pitching in that inning.
Mm-hmm.
It's Francisco Cordero who's starting, and if he gets into trouble, he gets into trouble.
I think they had the matchup they wanted with Betemit, though.
They absolutely did. Because Oliver's not a lefty specialist. He's been a reliever for the last 6 years. Mm-hmm. This is the seventh. Five of those years, he's been as good or better against right-handed hitters.
I'd hazard to guess, though, that his sample size against righties is very small compared to lefties.
I don't know about that.
Really?
I mean, especially when you're looking over 6 years. I think he's probably faced fewer right-handers than left-handers.
It's not fair because I don't have a computer in front of me. And I feel
I
like
do, and I can look
purpose.
It up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So that you can win every argument.
This entire segment was made for you to look as bad as possible.
Really
but no, fair. I don't think that's the case. He's, you know, Texas didn't treat him like a one-out lefty, and I'll take a look now. These are the kinds of things that we can do on the Blue Jays this week. Generally, we're not slaves to a time format. We have as much time as we want to talk about, so we can kind of delve into whatever we want to. Let's go back and look at last year in point of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And Darren Oliver faced... righties, 121 plate appearances, 94 against lefties.
Wow, so he actually faced righties.
He faced more righties.
I take it all back.
Well, a lot of times I think that when you bring him in, you're going to pinch hit. The other guy's going to pinch hit.
I guess so. That's
and bring in a right-handed hitter. In 2009, for example, 170 plate appearances against righties, 123 against lefties. So generally facing more right-handers and left-handers. And in both those years, 09 and 11, he was much better. Well, no, he wasn't. He was much better in 09 against righties. Last year, he was about the same, dominating against both. So he's a guy, and he and Jansen seem to me to be the perfect bullpen weapons against switch hitters.
Yeah.
You pick their weaker side, and whichever one of those two guys...
Doesn't matter.
Right.
Jansen's reverse righty, does better against lefties.
Yep.
We're getting away kind of what we're talking about and all the blown saves.
Right.
The four of them already.
We do that on the Blue Jays
yeah,
this week.
Yeah, it's okay. We can go on tangents.
Right.
But we're kind of strapped for time, as you mentioned. But Santos was tremendous against righties.
He should have two saves, by the way. Luis Perez stole one from him
on
opening
right.
day.
That's right. Yeah, on opening day, yeah. He stepped across the line, which is... How come we didn't get a memo about that rule?
I don't know,
well?
But I love it.
It's a great rule.
It's not a great rule.
It's going to stop Joe Maddon from putting Evan Longoria on the mound
right.
to throw some warm-up pitches to start an inning. But, yeah, I feel like we should have known about that, seeing as how...
Yeah, I'm surprised I didn't know. There was something. There was an article on ESPN.com about it in January. He buried it.
Okay, we missed it.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, Santos, people are expecting to be Mariano Rivera. There's only one... Mariano Rivera, he's
right.
going to have blown saves. And
yep.
even in that great season last year, he did have a great season.
Six
blown saves
yep. yeah.
for the Chicago White Sox.
83.3% conversion rate.
When you can miss bats like he can, though, I think you're going to be better off more times than not. And that's his game. It's striking guys out. He can be wild at times. You hope you don't get the Kevin Gregg scenario like when he was here. And I'm with you. I'm not as hateful of Kevin Gregg as the Blue Jays fans and the callers tend to be. Santos, I think, is going to be okay. But for people expecting him to be a lockdown, nonstop, every time he goes out there to shut it down, 1-2-3, I don't think that's realistic for anybody. Rivera.
It's not going to happen immediately. But you know what? This is still someone who is growing into the job, and it might mean that he doesn't blow another save for another 3 months. But it might mean that he blows one on Tuesday. It's a lot to ask for a guy to be perfect. And I think that the expectation is that a relief pitcher should never give up a run. And I think that's what people think they remember from Dwayne Ward and Tom Henke, which wasn't the case. Tom Henke in 1992, I could be wrong, was 0-6, his one-loss record. 0-6. And a closer should never get a win. Unless they blow a safe stay in and whatever.
But wins are stupid.
Wins are stupid. But 0-6 means that he lost six games on blown saves.
Or you come in a tie game and give up a run or whatever.
Yeah, no. No.
No. Okay. Or not. Whatever.
I remember all those losses.
It's your show. Whatever. Right. You're always right.
Yep, it's true.
On the podcast, this will not be the case. I will always be right on the podcast.
Well,
but it's your show, so you can be right for a bit.
Generally, the beauty of the podcast is that you're in a studio, I'm on the phone,
yeah.
So you have all the information at your disposal,
right.
And I'm working with nothing.
Yeah, not going to be the case anymore. No, it's a video, though, I don't think.
But we'll have to. By the way, it was 1987 when Henke was 0-6. Wow. 34 saves that year to lead the major leagues. And a whip under one, and he was 0-6. So he's as locked down, shut down as you can possibly be.
Still blew six.
Yeah.
You have to be incredibly lucky to have an Eric Gagne well or do other things to have an Eric Gagne type
Jose
season.
Valverde, yeah.
Yeah.
Jose Valverde last year.
The big potato, and then he blows his first one this season.
It was nuts.
Or Brad Lidge in his perfect season with the Phillies as well. And then the next season.
But he was really good. Last year, Jose Valverde sucked.
Yeah, he was
Brad Lidge in his year. He was really, really good. We must...
What?
Wait.
Step aside for a second. We will continue with more Blue Jays this week, podcasting on the radio, coming up on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Well, let's find out.
I think there's no question that it's Ennis and Wilner. No question.
No question?
All right, there's a few questions.
All
it's
right.
Your show. It's Wilner and Ennis. When it's the video podcast, it's Ennis and Wilner. I'll let you have this one.
What about when it's the audio podcast?
I'll have to think about that. That's your show.
One.
Whatever. The law firm of Ennis and Wilner.
I'm Mike Wilner. He's Ben Ennis. We are live and in color at Rogers Center as it looks as though John Farrell is addressing a large group of people sitting down the first baseline. Don't know who they are or why they're here. Maybe someone can fill us in. We have another few minutes of Blue Jays this week. Podcasting on the radio here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan as we get you set for Toronto Raptors basketball. Eric Smith and Paul Jones will pick it up from us with the pregame show at 5:30. So I said, Ben, that we'd let you run the show. So where are we going to go now?
Okay, let me direct you to where I want you to go, and then you go completely off the rails on a tangent. like you tend to do. Evan Crawford, I mean, it was awesome. I got to talk to him the other day when he showed
happiest
up.
Happiest dude in the place.
My God. I really hope he sticks. He looked good. Obviously, it's easy to come in a six-run ball game when you need three outs. But through strikes, I'm sure it would have been easy for him to get flustered. You've seen him certainly more than I have. You saw him a little bit in spring training, I'm sure.
I'll tell you what I saw. My first look at Evan Crawford on the mound. He was here for the mini camp, which surprised me a little bit because there were only seven or eight guys who were here for that mini camp. And I thought, oh, all right, this means he's in the plans. First intra-squad game.
Yeah.
Strikes out Jose Bautista.
It's pretty good.
Then strikes out Adam Lind.
It's not bad.
And then strikes out, I believe, Edwin Encarnacio. Yeah. Might have been.
He's getting it done.
Yeah. Might have been Rasmus. I don't remember who it was. But I think he faced two lefties, so it might have been Rasmus. But, yeah, he struck out Jose Bautista looking, and I thought, oh, that's very interesting.
I thought it was telling as well that he did get to stay, and it was Laffey. I know they're saying they had to send Aaron Laffey down if he wants to be a candidate for that fifth starter spot against Kansas City. But, honestly, how much are you putting into that?
Crawford also has stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Crawford also
has... We know what Aaron Laffey is.
A bigger arm. And someone asked me on Twitter, why Crawford over Laffey? And I said, because Crawford has the opportunity to have a real future in the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And Laffey is going to be one of those lefties who hangs on and, you know, will get his opportunities because he throws with his left hand.
Maybe he can be Jamie Moyer one day.
Right. Or maybe he can be Joe. Well, he doesn't even have as big an arm as Jojo Reyes. So, but Crawford could be a real weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's here. And John Farrell just loves him.
Yeah.
Just loves him.
How can you not get to talk to him? But I feel like it's a little bit of a change in philosophy last season. I don't know if this team does exactly that. I mean, started the season with a bunch of stop gaps. They had Corey Patterson and the like. And I just don't know if they would have sent the veteran down last season to see the young player like they're doing this season.
Yeah.
And I like it. And as a fan, shouldn't you like it?
I don't think there's a single stopgap on this team.
I don't think so either.
And maybe Ben Francisco, but he was a guy that they acquired because
he's a bench guy.
They like him. And he doubled today, and he drew a big walk. And it's wonderful to see after we saw so many of them last year. And I spent a lot of time, and we did too, on the podcast, just saying, you know what? This guy's not going to be here next year.
Yeah.
This guy's probably not going to be here by midseason. Don't sweat it. He's just here so that somebody else can percolate in the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're done percolating.
Yeah, they're done percolating, and they're done
the coffee
using
pot is ready
those...
to be poured.
Okay. They're done using those kinds of guys, and that's a wonderful step forward for them.
Hey, Mike, what do you think about the possibility of the Blue Jays thinking about a longer-term extension for Brett Laurie, doing the Tampa Bay Rays thing that they did with Longoria? I know he's so far away from even arbitration, but this is how you get a great deal on a guy. If you offer him the security of length of term, if you really believe he's going to be a star in the major leagues, you could really, really save yourself some dough down the line. Do you think that's something Alex Anthopoulos is thinking of, or maybe it's going to be a little bit later in the season if he keeps it up?
I guarantee you Alex Anthopoulos has thought of it. I guarantee you he's probably got the parameters of the deal he wants to do worked out in his head. What he has to do, and he's probably started to try to do this already, is convince Paul Beeston to sign a long-term deal.
Go past the 5 years?
Well, Alex won't sign Brett Laurie to a five-year deal. There's no point in signing a guy
because
up to free agency.
You have
agency,
him
right?
under control either way.
You have him under control.
How long
right
is that Longoria deal,
until,
do you know?
It was 7 years, I think,
yeah,
when
so
they signed
a
it.
Couple of years of free agency it took away? Or
they called him up like long enough in that he lost that free agent year. So I think they bought 2 years of free agency in Longoria's contract. With Laurie, right now, the Blue Jays control him through the end of 2017. Assuming he never goes back down to the minor leagues. So in order to sign him, I would think he'd have to give them two free agent years, or at least an option on two free agent years. Alex has told me flat out he will not sign a contract with a guy if he doesn't get an option, and he will not sign a contract with a guy, and I'm not talking about a major league free agent out there, but he will not sign a contract with a guy if it only takes you through arbitration because the team doesn't get any value there.
Yeah. Because what's the point? You're going to get what you get in arbitration anyways. But you talk about...
So it have to be a deal longer than 5 years, and Paul Beeson doesn't like doing deals longer than 5 years.
But, Mike, isn't that a theory for signing outside free agents?
No,
this guy isn't a free agent. He's already in the system. You think that that applies right now, that they won't go over 5 years for a guy who could be... I mean, he could be Evan Longoria.
I think they eventually will. I think they will go over 5 years for Brett Laurie because I think that he's going to be that important and he's going to be that good. And like you said, by doing it now, you get a bargain, right? You're going to save money by giving him security and he'd be an idiot not to take it.
Well, unless he wants to make, I mean, he could really make some noise in arbitration.
Right.
I mean, there's dollars to be made.
But if he gets hurt once,
yeah,
right? If he misses a large portion of one season,
yeah,
you're losing money.
Yeah, it's huge. And we know he's a guy that plays with reckless abandon, although he says he's in control. But, yeah, I mean, that's very possible.
He's as in control as you can be with your hair on fire.
Yeah.
We saw him go back first into the stands in a 7-1 game.
I'd still be in traction if that was me.
Yeah, you and me both. Ben Ennis, this has been a treat. Thank you for coming here, sitting in with us here on a Sunday afternoon Extendo Blue Jays This Week podcast.
Awesome. Check out Twitter, and we'll be tweeting more details about the video podcast as well.
Yes, we will fill you in. Now, it's time for the Raptors. So we'll be back Tuesday. Jays and Rays, Jeff Niemann and Ricky Romero. Thanks to everybody. Dylan Brown, Joseph Cilia, Ben Ennis, Jessica Ennis, Tom Young. I'm Mike Wilner. Have a lovely day off.